Great.
Hi.
Hi. Ready to get started?
I am.
All right. Well, today my conversation is with Vanya Erickson, who is the author of the book Boot Language. And, you know, it was interesting how you kind of described a little bit about just your feelings when you said that you had to become fluent in two languages. It was the honeyed version of the truth. That was from your Christian Scientist mom. And then your rancher's father's hard as the scrape of his boot heel words, which stung like the back of his hand. Thank you so much for talking with me here today, Vanya.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So first off, why and who did you write this book for?
I wrote this book to try to get to the bottom of memories that would come out of nowhere like stray bullets. And they kept haunting me, as did my parents' voices in my head. They are no longer here with us. And so I needed to get to the bottom of it. I had pushed it aside my entire life and made better stories out of what really happened, and would sit quietly as friends would chat about their great stories of their parents. And I decided, I was 55, and I just decided I was going to write about it. And hey. I thought, sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I thought that I would be doing this for my daughters to help them understand. And really what I was trying to do was break the chain of trauma that happens when two traumatic parents who had suffered have a child and pass it along. And it's my job to stop it.
Yes, right. When you say it comes out of nowhere, like give me an example.
Oh, I'd be teaching. And my students would leave, and in that sudden rush of difference, all the lovely children in the classroom, the bell rings, they leave, and I'm left to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And something would rush, not all the time, maybe one, two times a week, or driving home on my commute, just stories of my past, scenes, flashes of experiences, not unlike a PTSD experience, where you just relive it. And sometimes I'd pull over if I were driving because it was very emotional, and other times I would weather it.
Now, for people looking in, you know, looking at your childhood, it kind of looked idyllic from the outside, right? But what did your childhood really look like from the inside?
Well, it was quite hidden. We never spoke of what was going on. I didn't have people over, friends over, for instance, when my father was in the house. He left frequently to go up to the ranch and, you know, he was not in the house sometimes. And when he did that, I would have people over. So those friends, even to this day, their recollection is it was very tense in the house, but they didn't see what was going on. So there was just a dramatic difference. My father had a very harsh code of, shall I say, chores, quote unquote, that we would need to do. Mind you, none of this is of the sexual persuasion, none of that. It is all abusive words and manner and power.
So as a child, how did you cope? How did you just live on a daily basis with that?
What I learned early on was that nature is a master healer. Mm-hmm. And if I could get outside and see beauty amidst the chaos that was happening for me, it would soften the blow. It never completely removed the trauma or made everything all hunky-dory Disneyland kind of thing, but it certainly softened the blow, and I learned that that's what I needed to do. When times were rough, I needed to walk in the trees. I needed to take my shoes off and stand on the dirt, feel the soil. And this just helped me to see the beauty, see the birds and hear their calls and feel my dog's tail wop, wop, wop against my leg. That whole sense of nature is such a healer.
And it started even as a baby. Your mom was a Christian Scientist, and you write about how she left you in this blood-soaked diaper while she prayed over you, and your dad in his bed in the detox ward, his hands and his feet tethered with leather straps. So in going through all of that as a childhood and in childhood and dealing with this as an adult, how do you think your childhood actually affected relationships with others?
Oh, dramatically. And that's one of the reasons I began to write, is by stopping that cycle of trauma. Maybe, I mean, I had made some really poor choices in marriage and poor choices, self-harming activities with myself. And I knew there was something wrong, but it wasn't until I was writing that I saw the connection. Oh my gosh, this is all related to my experiences as a child, and it's got to stop.
Wow. It's tough work. It's tough. It's such tough work to be able to go inside and face the demons, I guess, that you've blocked for so long. Do you have any survival tips for maybe somebody who's living through whatever kind of trauma that they've lived through as a child?
Yes. A number one, top of the list, is to understand that there is no complete cure for trauma. It is part of your life. It will come and rear its lovely little ugly head, and you are capable of weathering it. We, as a society, tell people, if you'll do this, that, take that drug, see this therapist, become this religion, you will be completely healed. And my experience says, and as well as other people that I've spoken with about this in my community of trauma survivors, this isn't true. And if you can accept the fact that there is no complete healing, you might hope for it, of course, that there is a softening, then that goes a long way to making it through this world and making a fine life out of it, even though things happened. That's
A
number one.
Right. Yes, because little kids, I think the only way that little kids deal with it is to kind of just block it off, like compartmentalize it. And those are those memories, I think, that comes back. You know, when you come face-to-face with the past, or what do you do when memories come out of nowhere, like as you described, like stray bullets?
Yes, it's a good question. For me, I write. But for other people who aren't writers, they might be creative. They might be an artist, or they might plant a garden. You have to switch it. You have to switch the energy. Yes, observe it. See it. Understand that this did happen. This is part of me. This is my life. And my life is important, as is anyone on our planet. And anyone who has a traumatic experience, their experiences are important to acknowledge. This happened to me. And then to move forward.
Now, when you had this revelation, were your parents still alive?
No, I was 55. They had my father died when he was oh so young. He was 55 when he passed. So I find that very interesting that it was the same time, the same year.
Do you think you would have been able to have a conversation like this with them had they been alive? And would you even recommend it in talking to other survivors?
I'm not so sure. I'm a realist. I'm not so sure I would have had the opportunity to have that experience. My past tells me that this would not have happened. They were both very staunchly involved in their area, my father an atheist, my mother the Christian Scientist, and there wasn't really anything that I could do when I was younger. Of course, I guess kids and teenagers are not seen as strong, but I do know that mothers are mothers, fathers are fathers, and it doesn't matter how old you are, you don't know as much as they do, right?
Right.
And so I don't know that I would have hoped. I have much better coping mechanisms for approaching topics that are difficult now, but I'm not so certain it would have worked.
You know, and going through this as a young girl, was there anything good that ended up coming out of it? In the end, did it make you stronger? Did it give you, you know, the courage to stand up? I mean, what did it do?
Oh, absolutely. I am so grateful to my parents. This sounds very strange. But even though what went down, I have accepted my life. And if it weren't for the rocky road that I traveled, I wouldn't be the person I am now,
right,
who reaches out to students who are unseen, students who nobody notices, who appear to be uncared for. That's my thing, is I'm able to work with kids who are troubled and get some success.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. The last question is, how do you empower kids so their words really do matter?
I listen, first of all. I think a lot of people don't listen to their children. They're, you know, put in front of a screen. There are a lot of ways in which parents avoid. Not that all parents are like this, but many are. And so those students who aren't listened to, oh, you know, honey, that's funny, and they move on to their lives because they're trying to make money to support their family, those children need to be heard. So I have students do TED Talks. They talk about things that are important, and their voices are heard, and we have a whole audience who's listening to them. And it's incredibly empowering and life-changing.
Oh, I love that. Today, my conversation with Vanya Erickson, author of the book Boot Language. Where can people reach out to you?
Well, best way would be on my website, vanyaerickson.com. V as in Victor, AnyaErickson.com. And then on Facebook, it would be Vanya Erickson, author.
Thank you so much for talking with me here.
You're so welcome.
I know you have to go. Thank you for giving me a couple extra minutes. You have a great one.
Perfect.
Okay?
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.